Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. Anytime you're in Huntsville, we hope you'll come be part of our worship. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. We hope you'll enjoy this lesson brought to us by Glenn Colley.
This morning's scripture reading will be taken from Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which winds drive away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Good morning to you. You know what? This is a beautiful time of year, and what a great day to worship God. I took my 2 miles this morning walking, and the temperature was so cool. The grass has finally turned brown, and it's a harbinger of autumn. It's just a beautiful time of year, and how blessed we are. I'm so glad to see you here. This passage that's just been read in your ears from Psalm 1 pronounces a blessing from God on people who meditate on His law. That's kind of interesting to me. Meditation is different from just reading the Bible. To meditate on it, which is enjoined here, is something beyond that. It would be to contemplate it. It's to reflect on the Word of God. It is to apply the Word of God. Is that what we do? I was reading an article this past week from 2014 from the Washington Post, and an author named Dewey wrote it and said that there were 35 things or ways that Americans have been changed over the last 30 years because of the internet. And it's kind of new, you know. I mean, we don't really know the full consequence of the internet and how it will affect a society of people. We just know that it's big. And so you have 35, I won't read all 35, but some of them were kind of amusing, and you'd say, yeah, I guess that's right. Hadn't thought about that, but we don't wait very much in the line at the bank anymore. A lot of us do online banking. We don't even wait necessarily in the store anymore because we can do that online too. There's no need at all to go to a high school reunion. Why should you do that? You can Facebook search the person, find out all the things that you want to know and communicate. And all that's okay with me. But in the context that we're going to discuss this morning, which is studying the Word of God and the importance of studying it, there's something that concerns me here. Several years ago, I bought a piece of property that was good for only two things. Well, I guess it was good for looking at. I like to look at it. But it was good for deer hunting and growing pine trees. That's about it. And anyway, I planted pine trees on it to watch them grow. And so I've had it for about 20 years now. And I don't go see it very often, but it's out there. Anyway, when I first bought it, I had some erosion problems. And I had a bulldozer come in and to clear away parts, redirect where the water would flow. And so in the process, he cleared some of the land off just of necessity where it was just nice and nothing was on it. And it was, I just commented, that's very nice. You know, you've got those clearings out there now. You could walk out there. He said, it won't be that way next spring. What do you mean? Well, he said, nature hates void. Nature will not permit a void. And so if you leave a void space, it will gradually and rather quickly fill up. And of course, by next spring it was. It was full of weeds and wildflowers and some wild blackberries. I mean, it was all covered up. One of the things in this internet thing about the 35 things, ways we've changed, is that the void has all been covered up. So now we don't have any empty spaces. And a lot of kids, you know, this can't be good. A lot of kids sleep with their devices now. And the point is that I'm able to communicate with people anywhere in the world. I suppose with almost anyone I could communicate at any time, even in the middle of the night. I can communicate. But what happened to the void spaces? That's a matter of concern to me. So you go to the bank, and if you do go to the bank and you stand in the line, you know, just watch. Or the post office, I go to the post office a good bit and you can stand in the line. And I'm telling you, those people waiting in line are all doing the same thing. They're all looking at their cell phone. Now, I don't care if you look at your cell phone when you're in the post office. My concern is that in our world right now with the internet, what we have done is to consume all the empty space. And I'm here to tell you today, and this is the point of the sermon as we launch into it, is that you cannot please God and go to heaven without spending time studying the Word of God. You can't do it without the Bible, and you can't just have a cursory reading of the Scriptures and it be good enough. What the Bible enjoins on us, demands of us, is that we study it. And as Psalm 1 refers to it, or describes it, he wants us to meditate on it. You know what meditating means? And are we doing that? Are we doing that? Do we have the quiet spaces anymore in our days? I mean, I just believe that in reference to the internet, with reference to our devices, we're going to have to make some hard decisions. And that includes me, of course. It includes all of us in this room, I guess. We're going to have to make some hard decisions and say, I cannot let this dominate me. You know what some people are calling it now? It's internet cocaine. I can't be very far away from it because it starts. In fact, right now, because I'm talking about this, are you getting the heebie-jeebies? I wish I could get to my iPad, right? I wish I could get to it. Check the Facebook. Maybe somebody wrote me. Maybe somebody's saying, communicating with me. If we don't have the void spaces, the quiet spaces, we're not going to meditate on His Word. It's just essential. Now, what I want to do is to show you four blessings and four curses in the Scriptures in reference to the importance of studying the Bible. There are four blessings and there are four curses. Now, there's going to be some overlap in this, but let's walk through it together. The blessings. Number one, God approved. 1 John 2 and verse 15 says, study to show yourself approved of God. Now, some of the newer translations say, give diligence. But study to show yourself approved of God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That is to say that the door through which I must go in order to have God's approval, the gate, is to study the Bible. I've got to study it. I like this too because it's about having God's approval, which ought to be your chief concern. I regret that a larger, more frequently asked question right now is probably, will I believe in God? Do I believe in God? Maybe I do. Do I approve of God? Do I accept God? Will I accept Jesus as my personal Savior? And I talk about whether or not I will accept them. I rather dislike that. Are you really sure that's the question? It seems to me that a greater question is, will He accept me? And what this passage says is that in order to have His approval, I've got to be a student of the book. Number two, wise or wisdom. It's about getting wisdom. Now look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The contrary to not studying, or what will happen if you don't study, is that you'll be unwise. You can be wise. My definition of wisdom is, as many of you know, the ability to see how a particular course of action will ultimately turn out. That's not a perfect definition, but it's important. And what he says here is that the opposite of studying the Word of God, I mean, what it means if you don't study is that you're going to be unwise. But now I think this is there's something about this unwise word that I think is kind of funny because it is too subtle. The translation of just unwise is too subtle. Here's what Strong's lexicon says is the definition of unwise. Mindless, i.e. stupid, by implication ignorant, egotistic, rash, unbelieving, foolish, unwise. I mean, telling you, that's got some teeth in it. And it talks about those who do not study, and this is the consequence of that. Now, you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7, beginning in 24? Whoever hears these sayings of mine, or you could say, whoever studies, because we have it in the written form, whoever studies, hears my words, and does them. I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house and it stood. Now I know that's metaphoric, but the symbolism is very real. It is that the wind is gonna blow. The rain is, when does that happen? When does the rain come? And the answer is that I'm gonna have days of trials. I'm telling you, it happens in everybody's life sometimes. I'm gonna have temptations that come and hit me real hard, that pull at my Christianity. I have to hold on with my teeth. And what will be the determining factor about whether or not you're going to sustain? So your faith, would it hold on when it gets really hard? I'm telling you, when the storm is really raging, would you be able to hold on? Would your house, spiritual house, stand? And Jesus says, the answer is going to be contingent upon whether or not you were wise or a fool. If you built your house on the foundation of my words, i.e., studying my words and obeying, and the house is going to be fine. And the wind's going to blow in the judgment day too, you know. One, there's a great day coming. And when it comes, there's this storm, if you please. And is your house going to stand? Will it stand or will it fall? It depends on what the house is built on. And that has to do, in the very pragmatic way, it has to do with whether or not I'm a student of the Bible. Do I study it and do I apply it? All right, so the second blessing is wisdom. The third one is blessed. And I just used this term because that's the term that's used in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And I love this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. I'm telling you, I've been studying the Bible for years, and I understand that term. I'm not finding contradictions. I'm finding hidden treasures. You spend time studying the Word of God, and I'm telling you, it just comes ablaze in your hand. Blessed is the man that he doesn't do all, but he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. That's a person who is blessed. Now, sometimes we say about the Beatitudes, blessed is the man that does this and that it means, blessed means happy. Happy is the person who does this or that. Well, you know what? I understand that happiness is attached to that. But would you listen to this old preacher? Blessed in the scripture is not just about being happy. Follow me on this. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, we have a depiction of the judgment day. The drapery's pulled back and you can see into the future. And you see Jesus, who is going to be our judge, and he says to those on his right hand, are you ready for this? Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I want to ask you a question. Blessed mean happy? Come ye happy of my Father, inherit the kingdom. I don't think so. It's more than that. It's dramatically more than that. It means the God-approved ones. The ones who are blessed of the Father are the God-approved ones. So in Psalm 1, when he says that this man is blessed, he's talking about the person who studies the Word of God. He's talking about the person who meditates, applies, who reflects on the teachings, the Word of God, which is the Bible. So, the third blessing is blessed. The fourth one is freedom. Freedom. The tragedy of mankind is that a man who is deeply incarcerated, yet believes himself to be free, will never ever pursue freedom. He doesn't know he's in prison. He doesn't know. But of course, one day he will. In John 8 and 32, Jesus says, you'll know the truth, and the truth is what will make you free. In what way is that true? I would suggest to you that it's true in reference to sin. Now listen closely, you must get this. Is that it isn't the person who commits sin the most who understands the most about sin. It's the person who studies the Word of God who knows the most about sin. You follow me? It is in that sense that you'll know the truth, and the truth is what makes you free. It'll make you free from the clutches of sin in the first place because you're not going to commit them, and in the second place because there's where forgiveness is. In John 17:17, sanctify them. That means to set apart. The Lord sets people apart. when they obey him. They become the children of God. They become his disciples. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Here's 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Don't believe every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. How can I do that? How can I have the freedom of being able to identify what is true and what is not true? And the answer is by study of the Bible, by study of the Word of God. No shortcuts here. No shortcuts. It's about freedom. All right, next slide. Ultimately, there's going to be a great day. And this business of freedom that you and I need to really ponder is the judgment day. All of us are going to be there. Everybody in this room is going to be there. And 2 Thessalonians 1 and 7 says, to you who are troubled, see, these are people outside of the Lord. These people are not part of the body of Christ. They're away. And he says, here's the appeal. To you who are troubled, rest with us. See, that's how we're going to approach this great day, because we're in Christ. It's rest. There's a peace involved in that. To you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. I don't want to ever see that. I don't want to be there. I don't want that. But on whom will he express his vengeance? On them that, are you ready for this? That know not God and that obey not the gospel. If you don't know God and you haven't obeyed the gospel, this is the category into which you fall. And you can't let that happen. How do I fix that? And the answer is, we study to show ourselves approved of God. What we do is we get in the book, and we study the book, and then we learn. It is the way by which God illuminates our pathway to heaven. It's how he communicates to us today. It is his communique. All right, so there are the four blessings. Now flip it over, and here are the four curses if you don't study the Word of God. Number one, ignorance. Ignorance. Hosea 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Here's Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. There's a consequence to ignorance. The consequence is that throughout all history, people who were ignorant of the Word of God always, 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 always are going to get into sin. Nobody ever accidentally, who is ignorant of the Word of God, accidentally trips into doing God's will. You don't know God's will. You can't accidentally find God's will. It's going to be by studying the Word of God. So here you have Ephesians 4 and 17. Watch this. This I say therefore, and testifying in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling. Wait a minute. Here it is. See, there's a consequence to ignorance of the Bible. Being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. I mean, they went down. They went down. Why? They didn't know the Word of God. They never studied the Word of God. Now, hang with me. That's the first curse of ignorance of the Bible. But then closely following on its heels is this next one. It is confusion. Now, what do you think about that picture? Remember the old joke where this elderly man is driving on Highway 460 and his cell phone rings and his wife says, honey, I just heard on the radio that there's a crazy man driving the wrong way on Highway 460. You be careful. Oh, he said, honey, it's much worse than that. There's hundreds of them. That's what this picture is. This is a picture that somebody snapped with a cell phone. They're driving down a highway. That's not a two-way. That's a one-way thoroughfare. And that car with his headlights on represents somebody going the wrong way. What you find in the scriptures is that a curse of not knowing the Bible is confusion. That you'll end up calling light darkness and darkness light. Believe me, John 16 and verse 2, and Jesus told his disciples, they're going to cast you out of the synagogue, and whoever kills you, wait a minute, kills people who follow Jesus Christ, kills people, they're going to kill people who are serving the king of this universe, but they'll think they're doing God a service. What's that? Man, you're really mixed up. You are mixed up. What about this next one? Here's Acts chapter 3, and Peter and John, you know, come to the temple, and there's a lame man, hadn't walked since birth, and he always is there begging our alms there at the gate called Beautiful. Anybody give him any money, he can't work, and people would give him money, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible says that he did. And he was jumping and leaping and praising God. Well, it caused quite a stir. And the enemies of our Lord came and said to Peter and John, what do you think you're doing? What's this all about? And Peter, you know, Peter, you won't recognize Peter from the Peter who was at the trials of our Lord and who denied him three times. You're not going to, this doesn't seem like the same man, But now Peter's found his courage. He said to them, you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And then this caveat. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance. I think that's rather generous. It's true, of course. So what are you doing? What are you doing nailing our Lord to the cross? Why are you doing this crazy thing you can't really? You're going to stand before him in the judgment day one day. He will be your ultimate judge for heaven and hell. And you're crucifying him. Are you sure you want to do this? And he says he did it. Well, we already knew this. You know, Luke 23 and 34, Jesus, while on the cross, prayed, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Right? How about Acts 23 and verse 1? Apostle Paul, before the council, would say, I've lived in all good conscience. And that may not strike you, but it's pretty big because he had participated in killing Christians. He's reflecting on the time as a Jewish leader that he would persecute even to the death. People who belong to Jesus Christ. But he said, and now he's a Christian himself. When he writes, he's a Christian himself. But upon reflection, he says, you know what? I did it in good conscience. Why? Because he was ignorant. That's why. What happens when you don't study the Word of God? The answer is, you don't know truth and you become confused. And you do the wrong thing. Next slide. There is a way, Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Which seems right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You do not have enough human ingenuity to get to heaven without the roadmap, which is the Bible. We simply haven't. I mean, so you have Matthew chapter 7, and he says in verse 13, Jesus says, I want you to enter in at the straight gate. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And, you know, we're talking about going to hell. Wide, broad way, and many there be that go in thereat. And why are they doing that? It's because they don't know the Word of God. It's because they're ignorant of the Word of God. It's because they think that's the life that they're living. They put their hope on the ever-drifting sand, and some on their fame, or some on their treasure, some on their land, instead of Jesus Christ. And you know what? It's going to end up badly. Eternally bad. The curse of not studying the Bible is ignorance. It is confusion. It is, number three, religious misdirection. Religious misdirection. Now this is cited a number of places in the scriptures. Here's Galatians 1 and verse 14. And again, Paul is reflecting on his life as a Jew before becoming a Christian. He said, I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. He was devoutly religious, but he was against Christ. He would fight those. He would imprison those and kill those who were serving the king of this world because he was religiously misguided. Now that, I understand that the New Testament wasn't completed at that time, but they had access. He had access to the truth, and we have access to it too. And here's the consequence of not studying the Bible is that you're apt to fall into religious misdirection. So, Matthew 15 and verse 9, and Jesus said, in vain they do worship me. Why? Because they teach the commandments of men as their doctrines. In other words, you and I do, I mean, we're not going to get this right. Without the Word of God, without study of the Bible, we're not going to know how to worship Him right, and we're going to get it wrong. And people are doing that today. We're not going to know what Christianity is really like and how to behave ourselves as Christians because we're not going to have the light. We're still going to be walking in darkness. That doesn't mean we won't be religious. It means that we'll be religiously misdirected. That's the importance of studying the Word of God. And the curse, one of the curses is that I'm going to be religiously misdirected. Now, you go down a little bit more in Matthew 15 and you have this passage in verse 13. Every plant which my heavenly Father, Jesus is talking about this subject of religion and the practice of true religion. But he says, you know what, not everybody will be in that. And every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted is going to be rooted up. There you have it. There you have it. Now, here's the last one. The last curse of not studying the Word of God is rejection. So, Matthew 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, "He that rejects me and receives not my words," see, there it is, "has one that judges him. The word which I speak, the same shall judge him in the last day." How about Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12? "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." Now, you know, this is the judgment day, of course. The dead, small, that's always interesting to me. The dead, small and great, stand before God. I'm one of the smalls, you know. I started to say I'm one of the deplorables. I didn't mean to say that. I'm one of the smalls. There have been greats, you know. I mean, you got names right now that I could reference who are well known, who were American leaders a couple of hundred years ago, and people still are widely well aware of these personages. I mean, I've been to Mount Vernon. I've seen the bed on which George Washington died. And if I say George Washington to you, you never met him. It's a couple of hundred years ago, but you know him. You're familiar with him. He's one of the greats. A lot of greats. I'm not one of them. But there have been a lot of greats. And what this says is, in the judgment, all are going to be there. You're not great enough to miss out on this. "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the book." So put these two passages together. John chapter 12 and verse 48. Matthew 12 and 48. And then this one. And what you have is that one of those books is the Word of God. One of these books is the Bible that you got on your lap or sitting on the seat beside you right now. One of the books will be the New Testament that's opened on the day of judgment. And for those who don't know it and haven't obeyed Him, it'll be rejection. There's the fourth curse. Now I want to end this sermon with this. Listen, it's not acceptable to not read the Word of God, but it's not enough to merely read it. It seems to me that reading the Bible, while good, by itself is not enough. What I've been emphasizing here is studying the Word of God. It's about meditating on it and reflecting on it and consuming it, applying it. How does this apply to me? It's a way of listening to a sermon or a Bible class, and you listen not just for entertainment purposes, and I don't mean to belittle anybody. I just mean that we're listening with a greater level of intensity. I want to apply this. How can this affect me? How can I better serve my Lord with what I'm being taught today? Meditating on the Word of God. That's it. That's what I'm promoting. Now, let's talk quickly about some ways to do that. Naturally, I want to encourage you to attend all of our Bible classes. Here you have these wonderful opportunities to come on Wednesday nights, on Sunday mornings to Bible class. We, by the way, if you're visiting, we have Bible classes that will occur right after this worship. And I hope you'll come be part. We have many choices of texts from which study will be happening. Hope you'll be part of that. But I'm going to go beyond that. What if you went to the teacher and you said to him, I want to prepare myself better for each week's class. So would you give me a synopsis of the whole quarter? Would you give me your schedule so that I know what chapters we're going to be talking about on any given Sunday? And that week prior to that, I could be preparing myself. So when I get to class, this isn't new to me. It's fresh on my mind because I've already been in that chapter. Wouldn't that be something? Or what about digging deep? Ladies, I guess most all of you know about this, but there's this women's Bible study called Digging Deep in God's Word. And right now, frankly, this is amazing to me, there are about, in round numbers, just over 4,200 women, not just in the U.S., mostly in the U.S., but some outside, who are doing this Bible study together all at the same time. You can download it for free. It's easy. So it doesn't cost you anything. And monthly, our women here will meet on one night for the Bible study. That's whatever is scheduled. And again, all the women are studying from the same outline. And then the next night, you have a podcast. So you open your computer and you watch the podcast and you have this study. And the terrific thing about that is that Digging Deep is here. Digging Deep originates at West Huntsville. And isn't that terrific? And so you can be a part of that. Well, it doesn't cost you any money. And if you want more information about it, you can see, Jennifer or Emily or Lisa or Cindy or whatever, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Won't be hard. What if you took a book of the Bible that you found somewhat interesting and you said, I'm gonna learn this book. And here's the way I want to challenge you to do it. A book of the Bible, if you want to study it, needs to be read all at one sitting. And so some of the books are longer than others, but you got to read it at one sitting. And I want to suggest that you do that on three different days. So you've read it all the way through in one sitting on three different days. On that third reading, do it with a laptop or just a pad of paper beside you. And what I want to suggest is that every time you come to a verse or a passage in that book and you say, I don't really understand that, make a note of it. Make a note of it. Make a note. And so then you've ended up with having read the whole thing three times. So you have a pretty good knowledge working on this book. And now you've got a list of questions. And then get you some good commentaries. We have a good library here with a lot of reference books. And what if you pursued every one of those questions till you came to a resolution where you're satisfied? I know what this passage means. I've got a handle on what this means. And when you finish that study, this is a systematic way. I'm telling you that you're not going to do this without a systematic way to study the Bible. You've got to figure out a systematic way, and then you got to do it. But when you finish that study, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a good knowledge. What are you going to do? You can imagine a sermon comes up and the preacher references that book. Bang, you have this all this information inside of you, a familiarity with that book. What if you could do that with a topic, some topic you find interesting? And what if you took a concordance, which is like a Bible dictionary, has where all the words are found, and you looked up and read every single place in the scripture where that word was found and the context of that. When you get finished, you're going to have a pretty good handle on what the Bible says about that word. What I'm saying is, you can't just say, I'm going to try to read my Bible. Well, that's a good thing. What these passages are binding on us is deeper than that. It's a pursuit. It's a studying of God's Word. It's a meditating on God's Word. I've got to grow beyond that. And that's what He wants of me. The way we started this lesson was in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You've been very kind to listen. Is there someone here who's ready, because you've studied the Word of God, to become a Christian? Repent of your sins and confess Him, just like Jesus said to do. And for that reason, you can be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Now would be a great time. We'd be happy to assist you. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. If you'd like to respond, come as we stand and sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Glenn Colley. If you have comments or questions, Glenn can be reached by email at colley@westhuntsville.org.